Welcome to Ordinarily Extraordinary Conversations with Women in STEM. I'm your host, Kathy Nelson, an electrical engineer who loves to hear and share stories of other women in STEM. So today's podcast episode is quite a bit different than my usual podcasts. This is actually a recording from a keynote speech I gave in 2017 to a group of women in the energy industry. It's about showing up, signing up, speaking up, and giving a hand up. I hope you enjoy this episode. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm really excited to be here. I'm really impressed that you guys have this opportunity and that you put together this forum, because there really aren't that many things like this in the industry. So I'm really honored to be asked to be here. Thank you to Leah and to ACES for asking me to be here. So thank you so much. I'd like to take a couple of seconds just to get to know my audience a little bit better. How many of you have worked in the energy industry for less than 2 years? Okay, what about 5 years? 10 years? And over 20 years? Okay. So this next question that I ask is not a question that you need to answer, but how many of you have had the opportunity at your job to do something that completely lights you up, that gets you excited to get out of bed in the morning? Or even in life, something that you're passionate about, something that you can't wait to get started to do. Well, I had the opportunity to do that this past year at my job, and it's something that I never thought that I would be doing, never thought I would have an interest in. But about 10 years ago, an opportunity came along that I said yes to, and that set the stage for what so far has been the best year of my career. So, as was mentioned, I served this past year as the first chairwoman of Utility Technology Council, which is a 70-year-old industry trade association. So think that in 70 years, there's never been a woman chairman of the board, chairwoman of the board, chair of the board. Honestly, there's this like lengthy discussion about what to call me when I was elected. So we did some extensive research, also known as Googling, and it turns out that chairwoman is the most correct term, and so I became the UTC's first chairwoman of the board. I actually have a slide on this. So this is some of the other chairmen of the board. So I have this picture up to give you kind of an idea of what the group of people that I'm with. I call this our Power Ranger picture because, so when you are elected chairman or chairwoman, we have rings. They look like class rings, and they say UTC chairman. They couldn't fit chairwoman, so mine still says chairwoman. And every year they do this picture where everyone puts their hands in. It's very interesting, but now I'm in this group, right? This is my group of people that I'm with. So it's just, I wanted to show this to give you an idea of what my group of people looks like. So, and not only was I the first chairwoman, but in the 10 years I served on the board, for much of that time, there was only one other woman on the board of directors. And for many of those years, there were 80 board members. So women were extremely, extremely underrepresented. And honestly, it wasn't just women either, it was minorities. I mean, it was really just, it was very much dominated by older white men. I don't mean that disparagingly. I know I used that term a couple times in my presentation. I didn't mean nothing bad by it whatsoever. It's just trying to describe the group of people. And that may not be surprising to many of you who've been in this industry for a long time. Women are a minority in engineering, we're a minority in the energy industry. As you talked about, we're a minority at most conferences. I usually get pretty excited when I see another woman in the ladies' room at a conference. Except for this one, there might actually be a line. So what I want to share with you today are some of my experiences I've had in this past year and some of the insight I've gained in the 25 years that I've worked as a female engineer in a male-dominated industry. So there's 4 points that I would like to make today. The first is show up. The second is speak up. The third is sign up. And the fourth is give a hand up. My first point is show up. Show up for what interests you. Show up for what you're passionate about. Show up so you can have a seat at the table. You talked about Sheryl Sandberg and starting the lean in movement, but you need to show up at the table in order to be able to lean in. And don't just show up, but show up as your authentic self. Well, what do I mean by that? 25 years ago, when I started at what was the United Power Association at the time, they became Great River Energy, I was the first woman engineer that went out in the field. There was another woman engineer at the time, but she was a planner and she was in the office. So I was really the first woman that most of these live and technicians had seen at work out in the field. And I was 22 years old. I was just out of school. And I was very aware of being young, inexperienced, and female. Additionally, technicians and engineers don't always get along so well, and I was really intimidated. So I never talked about what I would say my less masculine hobbies are. At the time, I sewed, I made many of my own clothes, I got married up shortly after I started work, and made my own wedding dress, I baked and decorated cakes. But I was very careful not to talk about those things at work, especially around my male coworkers. And I guess I didn't want people to know that I was a girl, I guess. And how regretful is that? You know, why would I want to hide that? But I did for the first several years of my career. Now, I want to contrast that to an experience that I had this past year serving as UTC's chairwoman. UTC is a global trade association. There's a UTC in America Latina, there's a European UTC, an African UTC, and a Canadian UTC. And as part of serving as chairwoman of UTC, I sit on the boards of all these international units of UTC, and I get to go to conferences. And the very first conference I went to, this was May of 2017, was Africa UTC. It's in Cape Town, South Africa. If you ever have a chance to go to Africa, I would highly recommend it. It was a fabulous, fabulous experience in a beautiful country. But anyway, Africa UTC has just been launched a couple of years ago, and so they couple Africa UTC along with Africa Utilities Week. There's not enough delegates to have its own conference. And Africa Utilities Week is a huge conference. There are about 6,200 attendees from all over Africa. And it was fascinating. But for me, the best part was there was a Women in Power and Water luncheon that I got to attend. And honestly, I didn't know what to expect going to a Women in Power luncheon in Africa. So walking to this room of about 50 to 60 highly professional women from all over Africa. And this was really surprising to me. And as I'm actually going back to do the math, if I go on what I think is the high side, 60 women in 6,200, it's not a large percentage at all. But the effect of the perception, my perception, was profound. The keynote speaker was Minister of Water and Sanitation from Uganda. She had a PhD in chemistry. And the woman who I happened to be sitting next to at my table, her name was Nadia Musashi, and she has co-founded an organization called WomenEng. And WomenEng, their mission is to encourage young girls to go into engineering. They have a bright pink hard hat as their mascot. And Nadia was a young Muslim woman from South Africa. And I point out the fact that she was Muslim only because Islam is a very minority religion in South Africa. And not only was she very proud and a big female and, you know, really flaunting the fact that she was female and what she was doing and what her mission was, but she also proudly wore a hijab. And she helped start this movement, this WomenEng. And when I met her, she had just been to the United Nations to speak. And she was telling me about how she was trying to figure out the logistics of getting her leftover pink hard hats back from the United Nations. What a weird problem. And not only has she been to United Nations, but then she went on to Canada and met Justin Trudeau and took a selfie with Justin Trudeau in one of their pink hard hats. But how awesome to be next to this person who was so excited about her differences and was celebrating her differences versus hiding them, which is what I felt like I did for many years when I first started. We need to be who we are. We all bring unique talents to our jobs, to the industry, to the world. We need to celebrate them and be comfortable expressing who we are. For me personally, UTC is where I showed up. But first I showed up in engineering school, then I showed up in the energy industry. We show up in what interests us and what we're passionate about. And it's in all facets of our lives. Maybe it's politics, maybe it's religion, maybe it's running a marathon. Whatever it is that lights you on fire, show up. And keep showing up, and show up as your authentic self. The next point I want to make is sign up. Maybe?
this is a PowerPoint crash.
All right, we'll get to that summary. It's just a slide of the background anyway. Cheryl Sandberg encourages women to lean in, but I don't think that's enough. We need to speak up. What are the table? Starting at early ages in school, boys talk 9 times more often than girls, and they take up to 5 times linguistic space in a classroom. Girls are more often celebrated for being quiet. Now this may be changing, but I see this in my own kids. I've got 3 children. I have a daughter who is almost 20. She just finished her sophomore year of college. I have a 16-year-old girl who just finished her sophomore year of high school, and I have a 12-year-old son who just finished 6th grade. My daughters are much more reluctant to speak up when they're in class. They're much more reluctant to talk to their teachers when they have issues. Now this may be because they are more shy, but I don't see this as much with my son. Now, I was shy when I was growing up, as were my sisters. I don't have any brothers, so I can't really relate as much to boys back then. But I didn't speak up. I didn't want to be noticed. And this continued in the early part of my career. Not only that, but when I started working, I assumed that the men that I worked with, the engineers and technicians, knew more than I did because they spoke confidently and they were more experienced. And I just figured I had a lot to learn, so I went to what I consider to be sponge mode, absorbing as much information as possible. However, later I realized that this is not necessarily the case. They didn't necessarily know more, but they spoke as though they did. They spoke as if they were the expert on whatever topic they were talking about. And I think it was just because they were more confident, and they always tried to look and act like they knew what they were talking about. And this is a generalization, and I really don't mean to generalize, but this is just really how I felt at that time in my career. I attended a conference session a couple of years ago on confidence, and I've done a little bit of research. Boys and men are trained, are socially trained, and encouraged to be more confident than girls and women. In our teen years, girls' self-esteem plummets. I read a book, The Confidence Code. I don't know if any of you have read that, but it has excerpts from very successful women. These are businesswomen, movie stars, sports stars, people that you would think that would have a lot of confidence. But they weren't as confident as you would perceive them to be. It talks quite a bit about that in this book. And I find that both intriguing and sad. When we don't speak up when we should, or when we have something important to say, we diminish our value. And not only that, but speaking up is important not only for us, but it's important for our companies and our industry. All of us have different viewpoints that are important and valuable. As I mentioned before, I have a 12-year-old son. At 12 years old, he talks to me and my daughters and sometimes my husband like he knows everything. He's like a typical know-it-all 12-year-old. He tells us things about driving or college, like when my daughters are going through these things, but he'll tell them things that there's no way that he would know about. But he talks about them so confidently that sometimes I second guess myself until I find that he's 12. And then I usually just find them really frustrating or maddening. Well, finally, after 8 to 10 years of my job, I found my voice. I realized that I had knowledge, I had opinions, that I did know what I was talking about. In some cases, I questioned things that other people didn't, and I assumed value for speaking up. Now, this was particularly the case when I joined the board at UTC. At our board meetings, we oftentimes have guests from Capitol Hill or other federal agencies, and as part of my work, I ended up chairing the Public Policy Division, and I went to meetings with the Department of Energy, Department of Homeland Security, and the Communications Commission, and we all go to the Hill as part of our annual board meeting. It is so important to speak up in that environment, to make them aware of what our needs are as an industry. In many cases, other people weren't speaking up, and I would ask questions that I thought needed to be asked that weren't being asked. Well, many years ago, I joined Toastmasters. At that time, public speaking for me was a big fear of mine. And I started looking for speaking opportunities. I became a lector at my church. I started giving technical presentations as often as possible, really just to get myself more comfortable speaking in public. I still don't feel totally confident. You might see my hand shaking every now and then. But I did eventually start feeling more comfortable speaking in public, voicing my opinions in meetings, and asking questions of others. I found my voice. But I wish I would have found it earlier. And I try to encourage my kids, especially my daughters, to find their voice and use their voice much earlier than I did. We are all intelligent. We all have good ideas. We all have value. Find your voice. Use your voice. Speak up. My third point is sign up. Get involved in organizations, associations, politics, whatever it is that floats your boat. Apply for that job. Volunteer for charity. Sign up for the race. Go skydiving. Go bungee jumping. Get out of your comfort zone. Now, I have to admit, I did not sign up for UTC's board of directors. I had an interview with a job with a manager of a utility who happened to be coming to the end of his chairmanship. And I didn't end up taking the job for various reasons, but I saw him a couple months later at a regional UTC meeting, and he asked if I would consider chairing the Rural Issues Committee within the technical division. I think of UTC's board of directors as having similar to a company organizational structure, so rural issues would be under technical division. And I said I would think about it. I later went on to meet with the chair of the technical division, who would be my, what you call, like a UTC boss, and I really liked him. So I agreed to chair the Rural Issues Committee, but I can tell you I was not jumping at the chance to do this because, as I mentioned, this was a group of old white men. And not only that, but they actually had cigar parties. You saw the class rings with the Power Ranger picture. This was not an organization that I thought that I would fit in at. But I was looking for something in my career. I'd been at my job about 15 years, and I was looking for something different. I was looking for a new challenge. And it was something that I did agree to, and I joined the board of directors. Well, it turns out that when I made this decision and I accepted this, when I said yes, it changed my life. In UTC, I found an amazing group of smart, kind people from all over the country and later from around the world. They became very good friends of mine. UTC gave me opportunities to expand my knowledge base and my skill set. And as I mentioned before, I ended up moving away from the technical division and chairing UTC's public policy division for 4 years. And I hated politics. But again, this was a case where I was asked to chair public policy. Someone somehow saw something and that I didn't see myself. And I said yes. And it was one of the best decisions I made. I got outside my comfort zone and I was able to grow in ways that I never imagined. As I mentioned before, I've met with federal agencies such as Department of Energy, Department of Homeland Security, the FCC, Congress, and White House staff. I learned to file comments and how important that process is to have my voices heard. I started getting into global radio frequency spectrum work that UTC does and started learning how the international community deals with issues such as spectrum and worldwide radio services. I was outspoken, and I have a passion for utilities and the critical work that we do, and how our radio spectrum needs, and this group of old white men, they encouraged me to go into leadership, and they were so excited about the prospect of me being the first chair of UTC. This is an environment that absolutely thrived in. I have never felt more support and encouragement from a group of people in my life. And it wasn't just the men, it wasn't just the board, it was the staff at UTC, it was the women, it was the It was really just a phenomenal environment to be in, to be able to have the opportunity to be that first chairwoman. Hopefully I'm not going to be the last. But never would I have expected this when I said yes to when I was asked. I would never have expected to have this great of an experience. They say that women don't apply for jobs unless they meet 100% of the qualifications. But men apply for jobs and they meet 60% of those qualifications. We need to quit waiting to be perfect. We need to quit waiting. We need to quit thinking that we're not good enough. We need to be bold. For me, signing up can be as scary as the actual letter. A couple of years ago, I did a half Ironman. And for those of you who don't know what a half Ironman is, it's a triathlon. There's a 1.2-mile swim, a 56-mile bike, and a 13.1-mile run. Well, here's the thing. I couldn't swim. Well, let me rephrase that. I can swim about 25 yards. I can swim about the length of the YMCA pool. And not only that, but about 20 years ago, I did a sprint triathlon that somebody talked me into, and it was horrible. And for this particular sprint triathlon that I did, it had like a third of a mile swim, and I held onto a canoe 5 times. I was one of 300 pink swim caps, and all I kept thinking is, no one is going to notice one missing pink swim cap. And it was horrible, and I swore I would never do another one. But time went by, and I run marathons. I've always said I'm a couch potato at heart, so I need something. I need a goal to train for, or I'll sit on the couch. And about 9 years ago, we had moved onto a lake. And a few years ago, I bought a road bike so that I could bike with my husband. So I literally had all the components for a triathlon right outside my back door. And I had a couple of friends who had done full Ironmans, which I think those are crazy friends, by the way, because that's just a whole other level of insane. And I think I scrolled through Facebook and I saw a quote that was attributed to Eleanor Roosevelt that said, "Do something every day that scares you." Well, what better thing to do than try and do 1.2 miles swim of something that I couldn't do at all? So on February morning, 2.5 years ago, I signed up for this half Ironman. And then I started doing some research on training programs, because that's what you do, you gotta train, right? And I looked at the training program for this swim, and it started out with like a quarter mile or a third mile swim, and I'm like, shoot, what have I got myself into? And my leg is frozen because it's February. And so I'm like, I didn't apparently think that through very well before I signed up. So I joined the Y and started going to lap swim 3 days a week, and I could swim my 25 yards, maybe 50, and I'm good out of breath. But I'm thinking it's winter, so maybe I'm just out of shape. And I figured I could just do 25 yards and 50 yards and move up to 75. No, that did not work. So after a few weeks of this, I was not making any progress. So I took a couple of swim lessons from one of the instructors at the Y, and it turns out that my legs were in the water when I was peaking, and so I had this pelvis resistance with me. So we fixed that, and I learned to swim at 45 years old. I learned to swim at least in a pool, which is a whole different thing than swimming in a lake where you can't touch. But eventually my leg thawed and it warmed up, and I started swimming along a shore where I could touch. But I knew that I had to be able to swim in open water, because not only had I signed up for this half Ironman, but it was a Lake Superior, which is a very cold, very dark water, many times very wavy lake. And so maybe 6 weeks before this triathlon, I went out to do an open water swim where I could catch my husband boated beside me, because you can't swim in a lake without someone next to you, without a boat next to you, because no one's looking for swimmers. And at this point, I could swim over a mile when I was lap swimming. But for some reason, I either had some psychological issue, but I couldn't do it. I would swim, and then I would crawl up to the boat and rest and cry. I think I cried every time I got out of the boat. So I did this like 10 times, but I did eventually make it a mile. But it was super discouraging to me, because I'm thinking there's no way that I can do this half tired. But the next weekend we went out and did it again, because I paid my $150, right? I'm not gonna not do this. So I went out and I did it again, and this time I swam 1.3 miles across my bay. And I did it a couple more times because I wanted to get confident enough that I could do this in Lake Superior. And the last weekend of August, 2 years ago, I jumped off a boat with over 1,000 other people into Lake Superior as the sun was rising. And I did it. I'm not laying at the bottom of Lake Superior. That's a huge accomplishment. I made the 1.2 mile swim. I went on to bike 56 miles. I had my family out cheering for me. And my kids ran with me for part of the race. But faster than my goal time, which honestly, my goal was really not to be on the bottom of Lake Superior, but nothing else, just swim was an accomplishment. So here's my point in that lengthy story. Signing up was scarier than the actual event. I mean, it was scary to do this, as it was, but it was more scary to sign up for it. And we need to sign up for things when we're afraid to do them. And I think that we need to sign up for them because we're afraid to do them. For me, what I realized when I did this is that I could do anything that I set my mind to. And for me, that was a huge aha moment for me in my life. So the last point that I'd like to make is give a hand up. Now I want to point out that this is give a hand up, not give a hand out. I think many of us have heard comments like, oh, she was hired because she was a woman. And I absolutely hate that, because I don't know any women who were hired because they were women. We've been hired because we are smart, because we're qualified, because we take risks. Whatever our qualifications are, that's why we're qualified. Why we are hired, not because we're women. So it means to mentor, encourage, to support or sponsor others. And I would say women, but it goes beyond that. As I mentioned earlier, UTC could be seen as a sole white-race group, which is fairly representative of the utility industry. But when I joined, these other board members were more than happy to encourage me and to help me. They were excited to have me move up into leadership, and they were excited about me being the first UTC chairwoman. Their encouragement made me excited, and it made me work harder. It made me want to know more about UTC so that I could be an effective leader for UTC eventually. Encouragement is so important. Recognition of others' achievements is so important. Whether you're a leader, a coworker, in a different department, in a different company, we all need positive reinforcement, and it makes people work harder. So encourage one another, support one another. If I hadn't been approached by this gentleman who asked me to chair select committee at UTC, I would never have approached this organization on my own, and I would have missed out on this great opportunity. One of the opportunities that I've had as I moved into leadership at UTC is to recruit new board members. Now, while I always look for the best fit for UTC, I do try to seek out women, minorities, and young people, not leaving out those who are interested or who would be a good fit as well. But once you ask people if they're interested and you invite them, many of them are a lot more interested themselves, and they become more engaged. And by doing this, we become more inclusive. We change the makeup and the perception of an organization. UTC's board of directors is more diverse than it used to be. It still has a ways to go. But I like to encourage people on a long-term basis so that that can continue. Now, UTC is my little corner of the industry in the world, but this can apply to all of our corners of the industry where we have influence. We need to be less competitive and more supportive of each other. As you move through your career, be a mentor, sponsor, encourage young girls to go into technical areas or energy or engineering. It can be formal or informal, it can be in a big way or a small way. We all need encouragement, and the more we diversify our industry, the more inviting it is for others, which helps recruit the best talent to improve our industry. Showing up, speaking up, signing up, and giving a hand up continue throughout our careers and throughout our lives. We go through this cycle again and again, and not necessarily in that order. I'm looking for what I sign up for next. In 1 year, I'll be off of UTC's board. I'll still be mentoring and encouraging by giving a hand up, but it's time for me to move on. It's time for me to find my new thing to sign up for. A new chapter, a new adventure, a new challenge. I don't know what that is yet. And it's exciting to think about what the possibilities are. My goal is to go to a conference and not a Women in Energy conference and see a line in the ladies' room. We all have a lot to offer. So show up, speak up, sign up, and give a hand up.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Ordinarily Extraordinary. You can find me, Kathy Nelson, at www.ordinarily-extraordinary.com. And please join me for future episodes. Thank you.